This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit eBay.com for terms.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Fantasy Championship weekend is here. Let's talk to the pros. Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined as I am every Friday morning for the last time this season by Derek Brown. D-Bro, Fantasy Championship weekend is here. You might be able to tell in my voice that I am under the weather, but there was no way I was missing out on the Week 17 matchup preview show. A, because, you know, we want to help the listeners, obviously, going into their fantasy title games. And B, because I want to help myself going into the fantasy title game, hearing what you guys have to say so I can make my decisions as well. D-Bro, how many leagues did you actually make the title game in this season?
Oof, I've got four that are percolating for championships right now. Ben Solak beat me out with Justin Herbert just falling on his face in one dynasty league. And there's a few other where I just, you get to the point, like we always talk about it, like the point is to get to the playoffs and then let the chips fall where they may, because we just don't know what's going to happen at that point. So Jalen Hurts getting knocked out hurt me. Justin Herbert falling on his face. A lot of other players just crapping their pants. It wasn't pretty, but I got some teams too, Ryan. I got some teams through.
Yeah, it's like March Madness. If you make the dance, you have a chance. I was eliminated in several leagues in round one of the playoffs. All of my leagues that made the semis did make the title game. Of course, there's only two of them, so I've got two this week. And our guest, Frank Stanfield, podcast host slash producer slash contributor for CBS Sports, Fantasy Football, and Baseball. Of course, we're talking football today. Frank, how many leagues did you make your title game? And also, thank you for joining us here in this week between the holidays when most people aren't really doing any work.
Hey, no problem, man. We were talking beforehand. There is no off time right now. Fantasy football, baseball starting to ramp up a little bit. So I know all about it. Happy to be here. D-Bro, one of my favorite people in the industry. Happy to be here with him as well. Two championships, two out of eight leagues made the finals here. Have another one, a home league where we play out a consolation bracket. It's a keeper league where if you win, you win the consolation bracket, you get first pick the following year. It's kind of an anti-tanking thing that we do.
Yeah.
And I highly recommend it because I feel like too many keeper leagues, there's just these fire sale trades where everyone just gives up all their best players for keepers at the deadline. So this is kind of a way to mitigate that. So I'm competing for that. Two other championships. Happy to be here. Let's do it.
We've got a full slate to get to, so we'll jump right in. First, I just want to make sure everybody can find the three of us online. D-Bro's Twitter handle is at D-Bro underscore FFB. Frank is at Roto underscore Frank, and I can be found at Ryan Wormley. That's Wormley like how you dress when it's cold outside. And of course, we can be found everywhere online at Fantasy Pros. Let's jump right into it. First game on the Sunday early afternoon slate. After a whole slate of Saturday games last week, we're back to all just Sunday here. And then, of course, the one Monday as always. Game number one, Cardinals at Falcons. Frank, I'll start with you for your key matchup.
Matchup previews.
Yeah, I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins. I feel like this one is fairly obvious, but some people might be scared to start him after what we saw last week. The good news, Colt McCoy back at quarterback for the Cardinals. And in games with Colt McCoy this season, DeAndre Hopkins has a 31% target share. The matchup, we know it's a fantastic one. The Atlanta Falcons have allowed the ninth most fantasy points to wide receivers this season. They are 30th in pass defense DVOA. And I know that they've looked a little bit better recently, the Falcons defense has, but they've also gone up against bad competition. The last six quarterbacks they have faced, Huntley, Dalton, Pickett, Heinicke, Fields, PJ Walker. I know Colt McCoy is not great, but DeAndre Hopkins is built different. I think he's showing us that so far this season. And the Falcons have allowed some huge games to outside alpha wide receivers. DJ Moore, 6-152-1. Jamar Chase, 8-130-2. Brandon Ayuk, 8-83-2. DK Metcalf, 5-64-1. I think we get a huge game out of DK Metcalf. I think he's a low-end wide receiver one. And quick shout out to Greg Dortch. If you are desperate for a wide receiver, I think he could do some damage in this matchup as well.
Yeah, kind of remarkable that Hopkins's one catch for 4 yards last week came on a whopping 10 targets. It's one of the least efficient games you will ever see, especially from a stud receiver. Unfortunately, a lot of fantasy managers who have Hopkins maybe didn't make the fantasy title game because of that performance, but I'm sure plenty out there did. Debro, what are you looking at in this matchup?
On the other side of the coin here, I think for the Falcons, it's going to be all Tyler Allgeier all the time, baby. I think that he could put up RB1 production. I think Atlanta, look, we have not seen great things out of Desmond Ridder. It shouldn't surprise a lot of people. I think that this offense is consolidated down to Drake London and Tyler Allgeier. That is how they are going to move the ball. Tyler Allgeier has played fantastically. Like, basically down the back half of this season, his efficiency metrics have done nothing but go up and up and up all week. Since week 10, this guy is third in yards after contact per attempt, second in missed tackles forced, and he is 12th in breakaway rate. Now, you marry that against a Cardinals run defense since week 11, that's 23rd in rushing success rate, bottom three in fantasy points per game allowed to running backs. Allgeier is going to cook this week, so if you've got him, this is one of the differentiators where we talk about winning your week and winning your week in the flex. Allgeier's a guy you're probably not having to roll out there as like an RB1, RB2. If he's in your flex, you should be feeling amazing about it.
Debro, sort of just like gut feeling right now. Obviously, we have a long offseason of research ahead of us. If you had to guess right now, around where do you think you're going to have him among running backs going into 2023?
Well, it's probably going to be lower than a lot of consensus. I think that the stretch run is fantastic for him, but I think that the problem with Allgeier is his draft capital. It's not going to insulate him a lot. Like, I look at Allgeier, and it's funny because I was just talking about this in the Fantasy Pros Discord the other day with some of our Dynasty subs, and they were like, what should I do with Tyler Allgeier? And I was like, if you got him, get rid of him. If you can hold him, that's fine, but I'm worried about him. I'm worried about that the Falcons address the running back position in the draft or in free agency. I look at him in a similar vein, Ryan, as Michael Carter going into last offseason. As we loved him, he exploded down the stretch, he was awesome, and then the Jets went out and said, we need a running back, and we're going to spend up for it. So then everybody that loved Michael Carter was crying into their pillow all offseason.
Yeah, Frank, the answer probably changes if the Falcons go out and draft Bijan Robinson or somebody, but as of right now, where would you think you'd have Allgeier next year?
Yeah, I think he's probably going to be in that, you know, between 25 and 36 range, flex running back. Mm-hmm. It'll depend on what they do in the offseason. Like, if they pour money into a running back or draft a running back, then this probably puts him outside of the top 36 and more so as like a handcuff or something at that point. So if they don't do that, then, you know, I think there's some hype here. Obviously, he's running incredibly. He's explosive. I would like to see him catch the ball a little bit more, but maybe that's something they could work in this offseason. I think it's really just going to depend on whether or not they bring a running back in.
Before we get to the rest of the games, let me tell everyone about their chance to win a free signed Christian Watson jersey. No, Debro, unfortunately, you are not eligible, but it is super easy to win. Just leave a review for our podcast and or subscribe to all of our social media channels. The more actions you complete, the more entries you receive. Then you just fill out a brief form at fantasypros.com/contest and boom, you're entered to win. The contest wraps up at the end of the month. So in this case, New Year's Eve. So make sure you leave a review and follow us on social media as soon as possible. If we helped you make your league's championship game, then please do consider taking a minute to leave a review for the podcast, since it really does help us out. Again, details for the giveaway are at fantasypros.com/contest. Head there now to try to win a free signed Christian Watson jersey. Best of luck to everyone. Let's get into our next Sunday game, which is also our first pick in the Over-Under Challenge. The Over-Under game is sponsored by No House Advantage, who are giving away $10,000 in weekly and season-long prizes, including a grand prize of $3,000. Check them out today at nohouseadvantage.com or download the app on the app stores. Use promo code PROS at sign up for a first deposit match up to $50. Our first Over-Under Challenge of the day is Amon-Ra St. Brown over or under 15.5 fantasy points against the Bears. So be on the lookout for that as Debro shares his pick for the Sun God and also some of his other favorite over-unders from this week's challenge throughout the show, which listeners can find at fantasypros.com/challenge. For now, we'll turn to Debro for his key matchup in Lions-Bears.
I mean, look, we know how good the Lions' run defense has been, and we know the Bears want to run the ball. I could talk for days about that, but I think the Bears are going to have to pass the ball in this matchup, and I think that's going to come down to Cole Kmet and Dante Pettis. And looking at these two receiving options, Cole Kmet, he exploded in the middle of the season when Justin Fields was going off weekly. Over his last five games, only one tight end, 1 week. Since week eight, he's still, and this comes down to how bad the position is, still the tight end 6 in fantasy. I think he has a bounce back game here. The Lions cannot stop anything versus tight ends. 26 in DVOA. They're top 10 in yards per reception, fantasy points per game, and catch rate allowed to tight ends. So Cole Kmet, and I got to bring up Dante Pettis here. The Lions cannot guard slot wide receivers. Chase Claypool is looking like he's going to miss this game again. And I think that Dante Pettis, yes, he scored a touchdown. I know the targets haven't been fantastic, but for deeper formats, I think he's worth throwing into your flex this week. So I think that the Bears are going to have to move the ball through the air. And come on, Ryan. I mean, there's no other way to go but over for the Sun God. Like, I can't take an under for the Sun God. It doesn't matter the matchup. The man is going to be force-fed targets.
15.5 is a lot, though. I mean, you really need a touchdown to get that.
Okay, well, he's going to get that. His red zone involvement has been massive over the last 3 to 4 games. There is still touchdown regression to be had for the Sun God. So if people are going to chase the unders in the Sun God, you're going to get burned. That's all I could say.
Really quickly, Cole Kmet is tight end 14 right now in our expert consensus rankings. I'm assuming you think that's too low. Are there any big names that might surprise people that you would start him over?
So, yeah, we talked about this on the Start Sit show. I've got Cole Kmet comfortably inside of my top 10 right now. I've got him over Pat Freiermuth. I've got him over fellow tight ends who have been riding hot streaks like John Johnson, Dawson Knox, Dallas Goedert, who is going up against the no-fly zone of tight ends, known as the New Orleans Saints. So, yeah, I would be comfortably starting Cole Kmet as like a mid-range tight end 1, and maybe even over Mark Andrews.
Wow. Frank, talk to me about the Lions side of this one.
Yeah, so originally on the show sheet, I wrote down DeAndre Swift versus the Chicago Bears run defense, and that was because Jamal Williams was banged up. Now Jamal Williams is off of the injury report, and he looks like he's good to go, so I'm just going to lump these two together. I think they're both high-end flex options in this matchup against the Chicago Bears, allowing 5 yards per carry to running backs that is tied for 5th most in the NFL. They're 29th in run defense DVOA. They have allowed 18 total touchdowns to running backs. That is tied for 2nd most in the NFL. And they just got torched by the Buffalo Bills. Devin Singletary and James Cook ran for 205 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. So there is a path for both DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams to have big games in this one. Jamal Williams hasn't scored in a couple of weeks. I think they want to get him back in the end zone. I think that they would like to have him lead the NFL in rushing touchdowns this season among running backs. And obviously right now he is still leading the way. So I think they kind of want to pad that lead for Jamal Williams. DeAndre Swift, it's so maddening because if Justin Jackson would just get out of the way, I think this would be a lot better for fantasy purposes. But even with that, since Swift has returned in week 8, he has a great role. 16% target share, that's 8th best among running backs. 30 red zone opportunities, that's 6th best in the NFL during that time. We just need more touches, a few more carries. If we can get, 10 to 12 touches total for DeAndre Swift and 15 plus carries for Jamal Williams, I think they could both potentially smash in the spot. So I think both are high-end flex options this week against the Bears.
Let's move to Jaguars at Texans. And Frank, I'll start with you here.
All right, this one for me, I had to choose the Texans side of things, which is never really a spot you want to be in for fantasy purposes. But Brandon Cooks did flash last week. And I think it's likely that the Texans will be playing from behind. The Jaguars 31st in pass defense DVOA. They're allowing the 13th most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. They have given up 18 touchdowns to wide receivers. That is fourth most in the NFL. Brandon Cooks coming off a game where he had 9 targets in week 16, 31% target share in that game. No other Texan receiver had more than 4 targets in that matchup. The Texans have also been much more competitive the past couple of weeks, where they're routinely double-digit dogs and actually making competitive games out of it. So I think this game could be a little bit closer, and it wouldn't surprise me if Brandon Cooks can get behind the defense. I think he's a wide receiver 3. I think he's fine. I'm not pumping him up. He's not like a wide receiver 2 inside my top 24 or anything. But if you're desperate and you held on to him, or if you managed to pick him up, I think he's all right as a wide receiver 3.
He's down at wide receiver 40 in our half PPR consensus rankings. Some of the guys ahead of him: Cortland Sutton, Adam Thielen, Darius Slayton, George Pickens, DJ Chark. Are you starting him over most of those guys?
I probably wouldn't do it with Sutton. I just think they're going to be playing from behind the whole time, and the Kansas City Chiefs really struggle against wide receivers. I would do it against Adam Thielen. I would do it over George Pickens, probably not over Darius Slayton, though. So he's kind of right in the middle of that group. But yeah, over Thielen and Pickens, I think I would.
Debro, what are you looking at in this one?
I think it's another Zay Jones week, man. I think that you look at the Houston Texans secondary, and they are zone heavy. They have been the entire season. Their starting trio of cornerbacks projected right now with Stingley out have played zone coverage on 65 to 71% of their snaps. Since week 10, Zay Jones has been the wide receiver 1 for this passing attack. 24% target share, 31% end zone target share. The man has just been balling out, and I think we just have to continue to just ride the hot streak with him. If you look at where the Jaguars have been consolidating their attack versus zone coverage, Zay Jones has been leading the way. Since week 10, 67% of his target share has come against zone. He's 15th in PFF receiving grade against the coverage and 9th in yards per route run. So while a lot of people will gravitate to Christian Kirk in this matchup and say, look, if T-Law is going to get there, it has to be with Kirk, right? Nah. I have Zay Jones ranked aggressively. He is inside my top 20 wide receivers for the week. I think he is going to crush.
So in looking at his last 5 games, he's finished top 8 in half PPR points 3 times, but the times he didn't, he finished 77th and 88th. So does the fact that when he doesn't show up, he hasn't even been remotely serviceable, he's been downright awful, does that scare you at all, especially coming off of week 16 when he only had 1 catch for 14 yards?
It doesn't scare me, because if you look at the matchups there, I mean, were any of us like expecting he was going to do anything versus the Jets cornerbacks? Anything at all? No, I don't think so. So I'm not really worried about it. And I think that if you're looking at the matchups, they lend themselves to targets to be funneled to Evan Engram, who is honestly just matchup proof. He's a tight end, elite tight end 1 at this point of the season, and Zay Jones, because where Houston has been good is via slot receivers. Tavarius Thomas, and it's crazy to say that this man was on the bench for Houston for most of the year until Stingley went out. Tavarius Thomas is one of the best slot corners in the NFL. Like, he has been money since he hit the starting lineup again. So I am going to fade Christian Kirk. I might bump him down even farther and move Zay Jones even up.
Frank, moving on to our next game, Broncos at Chiefs. We just mentioned Sutton a little in the last segment, and you want to talk about the receivers some more?
Yeah, I like both of them here. I think Sutton's more of a mid to low end wide receiver 3. I think Jerry Jeudy has really, really emerged here. I know most of those games where he went off were without Cortland Sutton, but even last week he looked great once again since they've moved him to the outside. I love this for Jerry Jeudy. He's playing over 80% of his pass snaps on the outside over the last 3 weeks, and he has been thriving. One of those matchups was against the Kansas City Chiefs where he had a career performance. He went 873. And 3, that was his first multi-touchdown game of his career. Gets the Chiefs again this week, who allowed the 7th most fantasy points to wide receivers, 22nd in pass defense DVOA. They've allowed 19 receiving touchdowns to wide receivers, tied for 2nd most in the NFL, partially because of Jerry Jeudy. I'm in on Jerry Jeudy. I think he's a top 20 wide receiver once again, regardless of Cortland Sutton. Want to make sure he's completely healthy, but as of now, checking the injury report, I think he's going to be good to go. So fire up Jerry Jeudy here in the championship.
How aggressively would you rank him? Because right now he's wide receiver 19 in ECR. Would you go higher than that?
Yeah, I think he's a little bit higher than that for me. I think he's closer to like the 15 mark. So he is firmly a must-start wide receiver.
Yeah.
Debro, we had you on in the offseason, the FFT DFS podcast. And I know you felt strongly about this one way or another. Mm-hmm. I'm legitimately not trolling. I don't remember. Were you a Jeudy guy or a Sutton guy?
I was a Sutton guy. I was all in on Sutton. And look, Sutton's had the role for part of the season, but honestly, everything that's happened in Denver, the most confusing thing to me
is what happened to Courtland Sutton red zone role? What happened to that? Like, he was projected, looked like he was going to be the red zone, end zone target guy, and then Denver said, nope, we're just going to give you like 6 for 60, 6 for 70 every single week. You're not sniffing a touchdown. You're Deontay Johnson of Denver, baby.
Yeah, if Erickson was on this show, he was about the biggest Courtland Sutton fan you'll have found. So Debro was very mild in his enthusiasm for Sutton by comparison. Debro, what are you looking at in this matchup?
So I know that this won't shock anybody, but I'm going to bring up Travis Kelce here. And I'm bringing up Travis Kelce because I really think that this is one of the weeks where if you we hearken all the way back to draft season. Yes, you spent the capital. You got Travis Kelce. You paid the first or second round bounty for him. This is one of the weeks where he wins you the week. This is the week where you're happy. You're going back and you're saying, why'd y'all let Travis Kelce fall to me in the second round? Like, come on. This is one of the matches where he can win you the week going against the different Broncos. We saw it just last week. Tyler Higbee had a day versus his secondary. Since week 11, Denver cannot stop tight ends. They're 29th in fantasy points per game versus the position, 32nd in receiving yards per game, and 28th in yards per reception. So if you're looking at a player that could put you over the top, or you're staring at your matchups and you're saying, oh, look, I love Travis Kelce, he could put up the 20 points. I think Travis Kelce could put up a monster, monster week-winning performance in this game.
My one of my championship games is against my dear mom, who is starting Travis Kelce against me. I, of course, in that league, one round later, took Kyle Pitts. So those decisions went in opposite directions for us. Let's move to Dolphins at Patriots. Debra, I'll start with you here.
Go Wormley's mom. Take down the W. No, but moving on. This all comes down to, for the Patriots, it's Mondre, Mondre, Mondre. And the Dolphins still remain a very, very good run defense. Since week 11, they're top 10 in basically everything you look at. Rushing success rate, rushing yards per game, explosive run rate. Where Mondre, I think, makes his hay this week and what makes him or has made him a matchup-proof RB1 for the majority of this season is he's New England's wide receiver one, wide receiver two, and that's going to continue this week. Miami has been bad versus receiving backs. They're 25th in DVOA versus receiving backs, allowing the 6th most receptions and receiving yards per game. I think Mondre, the rushing is probably not going to be there, but he can get touchdowns and he is going to gobble up targets this week.
Going into last week, there was obviously a lot of, I think it was maybe our most asked player on Twitter was about his health status. And obviously he did very well, still technically listed as questionable. Is that just the Patriots playing games or are you're like not concerned about that?
I'm not concerned about it because this comes down to snap counts. Yeah. And if Mondre, and I don't care if Damian Harris or whoever, Kevin Harris, I don't care whoever else is active. The Patriots are telling you all you need to know. He did not put up a great fantasy score last week. He played 91% of the snaps. That tells you all you need to know about Mondre's health.
Yeah. Frank, what are you looking at here?
Yeah, so I'm looking at Jalen Waddle going up against the New England secondary in this spot. I know typically the cliche that we all talk about is that Bill Belichick and the Patriots are going to look to stop the number one target, number one offensive piece on an opposing team. I think that they will try. I don't know that they'll be able to stop Tyreek Hill, but I think this is something that could work out very well for Jalen Waddle. New England typically very strong in the defense, but they have allowed the 6th most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 4 weeks, which includes 7 touchdowns. Waddle, by the way, coming off 2 massive games, up over 100 yards and a touchdown in each of those. Don't love Teddy Bridgewater starting. I think we could all agree that Tua would be better for both Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill's fantasy value, but the last time we saw Teddy Bridgewater, he had 32 pass attempts. 7 of those went to Jalen Waddle. And for what it's worth, Jalen Waddle faced his team back in week 1. He scored a touchdown against the Patriots defense. And one of their starting cornerbacks, Jalen Mills, currently banged up, hasn't been practicing. We'll see if he can go in this matchup. But if he doesn't play, I think that's something that could also help Jalen Waddle in this matchup.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that week 1 matchup because Waddle did get in the end zone. Of course, again, that was with, you know, Tagovailoa as the quarterback. But Tyreek Hill got 12 targets to Waddle's 5. Does that at all concern you, just like something in the matchup that Miami wants to attack Hill more?
No, I could just see more coverage going Tyreek's way in this one. Double, triple coverage even, and he's still going to get his targets. There's no doubt about it, but I would still pencil in Jalen Waddle for at least 7 to 8 targets. And look, if they try and limit Tyreek Hill, maybe even more than that for Waddle.
Before we finish the rest of the slate, I want to take a quick second to talk about Betting Pros. If you like sports betting, then you should check out the Daily Juice podcast. Host Sean Green delivers all of his favorite picks across the sports world in under 15 minutes every single day between the NFL, college sports, and the NBA. We cover it all. The Daily Juice podcast is available on all major podcast platforms. You can also listen to it at bettingpros.com/dailyjuice. Let's move on to Colts at Giants. Debra, I'll start with you here.
I think that Richie James is going to be in for a fantastic game. You look at Indy just trying to guard slot wide receivers. They've been terrible. No Kenny Moore means slot wide receivers have eaten versus this team. Since week 13, Richie James actually leads the team in target share. And to be honest, guys, like, we're ranking him, or we have been ranking him. Like, I've got him as a wide receiver 3. That still is kind of blasphemous for Richie James. Like, if you look over his last 6 games, this dude has been a wide receiver 2 in 4 of his last 6 games. So wide receiver 3 is kind of just shading the man, considering what he's been doing. And with the matchup, I mean, since week 11, Indy has allowed the 11th most fantasy points per game to opposing slot wide receivers. Julian Blackman can't stop anybody. 81% catch rate, 138 passer rating. And I'm going to sneak this in here, Ryan. With Richie James, if he's going to have a day, I think that the Colts are going to have to keep up on the other side. So I'm going to take the over for Zach Moss in the No House Over Under Challenge for 8 points. Basically, I'm just betting that he gets the volume and maybe scores a touchdown.
So on the Giants receivers, Richie James in ECR right now is wide receiver 44. Isaiah Hodgins is wide receiver 43. Do you like James better of the two?
Yeah, so we talked about this on the Start Sit show. I think my preference for the three of those, and including Darius Slayton in here, is I have Richie James as a wide receiver 3. Last I looked, he's my wide receiver 32 for the week. Then I have Isaiah Hodgins. He's a low-end wide receiver 3, high-end 4. And then I have Slayton at the very back end. I think if anybody, because Stephon Gilmore has shadowed, and I think it's 2 of the last 3 weeks, if anybody is going to catch a shadow from Stephon Gilmore, it's probably Darius Slayton, and he's got the least amount of touchdown equity in this offense. He's been their field stretcher. He has no red zone role. Isaiah Hodgins has been garnering, like, over the last 4 weeks, he has 100% of their end zone targets. Darius Slayton has 5 end zone red zone targets in his last 6 games. So, yeah, it's James, it's Hodgins, and then Slayton is pulling up the back end, honestly.
He has 100% of the red zone targets?
Yeah, 100% of the end zone targets.
Oh, the end zone, over the last... wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's impressive. Frank, what's the key matchup for you here?
Yeah, so I heard Debro mention Zach Moss, and I was debating Zach Moss or Michael Pittman, but it just kind of feels like the Colts are going to be playing from behind this entire game. It is a good matchup for Zach Moss, so I'll throw that out there as well. But I think Michael Pittman could get behind the Giants defense here. The Giants allowing the 4th most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 4 weeks. That includes 6 touchdowns, some huge games to Justin Jefferson, who obviously is in a completely different category than Michael Pittman, but Jahan Dotson, Terry McLaurin, guys like that, they've had some huge games recently against the New York Giants. Pittman had 7 targets last week with Nick Foles as his quarterback. Again, not excited about Nick Foles being the starting quarterback here, but as a result, I think they're likely playing from behind in this one. So I went with Michael Pittman over Zach Moss. Don't really love either, but I think Pittman is in that wide receiver 3 conversation.
Let's move to Saints at Eagles. I'll start with you here, Frank.
Yeah, so I think you're looking at one of two here. I worry about Chris Olave obviously going up against the Eagles secondary, but I think that they're going to continue to try and run the ball a bunch. So I like Alvin Kamara. He's inside my top 12 running backs this week. And Taysom Hill, who, if you're looking for a tight end at this point, maybe he's already been gobbled up in your league. Wouldn't surprise me if he's available again, if you've just been streaming tight ends all year, going up against this Philly run defense. Again, they are 1st in pass defense DVOA. They are 19th in run defense DVOA. So if there is a way to attack the Eagles, I do think it's on the ground. They're allowing 4.6 yards per carry this season. That is tied for 9th most in the NFL. Tyreek Hill has played over 40% of the snaps in 5 straight games. He is averaging 7.6 touches per game in those games, and he has scored a touchdown in 3 straight. He's done it a different way each time: a receiving touchdown, a passing touchdown, and a rushing touchdown, which seems kind of fluky. I get that, but they're leaning on Taysom Hill. They said they wanted to do it. They're sticking with that. And he had 4 red zone opportunities last week. So if they find a way to get into the red zone, I do think we're going to see either Kamara or Taysom Hill. They're going to lean on those two in this matchup.
He's been, according to by half PPR, a top 12 tight end in 4 of his last 5 games. So he's a guy who's producing, even though he does it, obviously, you know, more differently than any other tight end. Debra, what are you looking at here?
with this matchup, I think that, yes, this is a tough matchup for the Eagles passing attack with the corners and the way that the pass defense has been playing up for the Saints. This is not the same elite run defense of old. And I know Miles Sanders has been on the injury report. He's back in practice as of Thursday. I think regardless of how you look at this, is it going to be a big day for Miles Sanders? If he is out, is it going to be a big day for maybe Boston Scott, which you could probably find on the waiver wire somewhere? I think this comes down to the New Orleans Saints run defense has been atrocious this year since week 11, 24th in rushing yards per game, 26th in EPA per rush. I think the Eagles, yes, we saw Gardner Minshew light it up last week. I still like him to a certain degree this week, but I think that the Eagles could lean on the run game in this one.
Sanders is RB 15. Is that too low?
It is too low. If he's healthy, I've got him comfortably as an RB 1 this week. I think that this provided health. Now we do need to see injury designation in his practice report. When this comes out on Friday, if he is a full go, I think he should be an RB1.
Game number 8, Panthers at Buccaneers. Frank, what are you looking at here?
Yeah, so I'm looking at DJ Moore going up against this Tampa Bay pass defense. And overall, this Bucs defense actually has been very solid so far this season. But I think that they're going to focus on trying to stop the run, especially after what we saw both Deonta Foreman and Chuba Hubbard do against them back in week 7. Plus, the way that the Panthers are just running the ball right now. We saw in week 16, they went off. So I think that's going to be the focal point in this matchup for the Bucs defense. They're going to try and take away the run. And as a result, DJ Moore, he's going to continue doing what he's been doing. He has 73 yards and a touchdown in 3 of his last 4 games with Sam Darnold, a 29% target share during that stretch. So obviously, they don't throw the ball much, but when they do, it does go to DJ Moore. Something interesting about his usage last week, too. He played a season-high 54% of his pass snaps from the slot last week. I believe Shai Smith is currently banged up, so we'll see if he can go. But if he doesn't, I think that they can move DJ Moore around a little bit more. The Bucs defense are dealing with an injury to Jamel Dean, who typically plays in the slot as well. So they're moving DJ Moore around. I think they try and focus on stopping the run. As a result, we get another big game from DJ Moore.
Can you imagine if I told you 2 months ago that you'd be recommending DJ Moore in the fantasy championship game?
Oh, man, you know, I would have felt great about it then because I drafted DJ Moore everywhere this year. Yeah. And think about where you had to take him. I was taking him over names like AJ Brown and T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. And looking back, obviously, I feel terrible about it. But this is the talent level of DJ Moore. When he's going right, when he has a quarterback that's competent, that can get the ball in his hands, this is what he's capable of. You know, he can be a top 15, a top 20 type wide receiver. And he's doing that right now. So I'm thinking we get another big week here in week 17.
I'm hoping for it as well. I drafted him almost everywhere. Although part of that was just being a homer since he's a Terp. Debro, what are you looking at in this one?
Weird Ryan doing homer things. Never heard of that.
Never happens.
No, never happens at all. I'm going to go a little bit deeper down the well here. I'm going to talk about Russell Gage. And I think that if you're looking at, yes, Mike Evans has been terrible for the back half of the season. He has absolutely fallen off the map. Now, we know Chris Godwin is going to get his targets because, well, Chris Godwin always gets his targets. But if you're looking at another passing option for the Buccaneers, I think Russell Gage makes a ton of sense to throw in your flex this week. If you're desperate, I'm not telling you that I'm immensely high, but I think that he can pop off with a good game here. Considering, yes, Julio Jones is back last week, but he only played 27% of the snaps. I don't think Julio is anywhere close to healthy. But you look at Gage over the last 2 games. This man has seen a 20% target share. And again, we're going back to end zone targets here. Because if we're talking about where do we want guys to catch the football? Okay, the red zone is nice. That's pretty. But they still have to run to the goal line. If you're in the end zone and you get a target, you just have to catch it and put both feet down on the ground. And hey, we got touchdowns, baby. And over the last 2 weeks, Russell Gage has 100% of the team's end zone targets. So if you're looking at which direction can I go for my flex and possibly get a touchdown to boot? Russell Gage is going to be it. And again, Mike Evans could see a little bit of J.C. Horn. He could follow him for most of this game. That means Russell Gage versus C.J. Henderson. I like those odds a lot.
This is why you listen all the way to week 17, folks, is to hear Debro explaining the rules of football and what makes a touchdown. Last game early afternoon slate is Browns at Commanders. Frank, I'll start with you again.
Yeah, I probably should have asked you guys beforehand if I can choose a bad matchup, but it's too late now. So that's what I'm going with. I'm going with Nick Chubb, who's going up against the Washington Commanders run defense here, a defense that allows 4.03 yards per carry, tied for ninth lowest in the NFL. They've only allowed 6 rushing touchdowns to the position. They are 11th in run defense DVOA. And Washington has allowed, I know that they've allowed a rushing touchdown to a running back in 3 straight, but they're doing that on just 3.74 yards per carry. So it's, you got to get down near the goal line, but they've done a great job of limiting efficiency here. Nick Chubb, since Deshaun Watson has taken over as the quarterback in week 13, is averaging 4.01 yards per carry. This is not the Nick Chubb that we're used to seeing. He's not breaking off long runs. This offense has looked abysmal under Deshaun Watson so far. And frankly, I'm pretty worried about Chubb in this spot. So typically, you know, he's a RB1. He's a low-end RB1. I'm a little bit lower this week. I think he's a mid RB2. I think you can make the case for Miles Sanders over him, who Debro spoke about earlier. And the next running back that Debro is about to talk about, I think you can make the case to start him over Nick Chubb as well. So I'm a little bit more worried about Chubb this week.
I love the fact that you brought that up, Frank.
That's the host in Frank just segueing perfectly into Debro for his key matchup.
I love the fact that Frank brought up one where he has Chubb ranked, because I think people, I'm not going to say we fall asleep at the wheel, but you get names and we're used to certain production levels throughout the season. And it's like, oh, Nick Chubb's an RB1, right? Like, no, he's an RB2 this week. And yes, I will play Brian Robinson, or at least consider it, over Nick Chubb. You're looking at Antonio Gibson as banged up. We don't even know if he's going to play. Now, Washington has not divulged what is wrong with Antonio Gibson. Suffice to say that he has a sprain. It's in some part of his body. We don't know where, but he's out of practice. So we don't even know if he's going to suit up this week. And that could mean, like, we get Brian Robinson bell cow, baby. Jonathan Williams will not take away much work from him. And we know you can run on the Browns. Since week 11, 25th in rushing yards per game, 29th in explosive run rate allowed, Brian Robinson could be in for a day. I think he is a high-end RB2 with, honestly, they're not going to let Carson Wentz chuck the ball 30, 40 times in this game. I think that you're looking at a matchup where Brian Robinson could walk away with this. If there's no Antonio Gibson, 25 carries in this matchup, multiple touchdowns, I'm here for it.
Frank mentioned the yards per attempt from Chubb since Deshaun Watson came back. Chubb has also not gotten in the end zone in that time as well. He's been running back 32, 29, 32, and 23 in that stretch. Let's go to the late afternoon slate, 49ers at Raiders. Debra, I'll start with you.
Well, moving away from Deshaun Watson, the iceberg that sinks all ships, let's go over to Brandon Ayuk. I think he's going to have a fantastic game here. Versus outside corners Nate Hobbs and Amik Robinson, they are both giving up pass ratings north of 101. You're looking at Brandon Ayuk, and I just want people to understand how good Brandon Ayuk is. I wish this man was fed a ton of volume on every single game because he has been so efficient this year. He's 22nd in PFF receiving grade. The guy just screams, like, give him targets. He puts up highlight reel plays every single week. I think if you're looking at it like a wide receiver 3 that could easily outkick where he's been the last few weeks, it's Brandon Ayuk.
Frank, I kind of wanted to get Debro's out of the way quickly because the big storyline in this game is, of course, Derek Carr not playing for the Raiders. So talk to me a bit about what we expect this offense to look like.
I don't even know where to start. What do we do with Jared Stidham, right? He's going up against the best defense in the league in the San Francisco 49ers. The implied team total down to 16 points for the Las Vegas Raiders. And I would be hammering the under on that right now as well. It's just a combination of a quarterback who has done nothing in his NFL career. He's mostly been a backup. Now he's being thrust into a matchup, again, against a championship contender with an amazing defense. First in defense DVOA overall, first in run defense, fifth in pass defense. Josh Jacobs slowing down recently as well. Last 3 weeks, he's averaging 3.69 yards per carry. We know Devontae Adams, what his ceiling looks like, but we've also seen the floor. Look at last week, 2 catches for 15 yards. I think both are firmly outside of the top 12 at their respective positions. Josh Jacobs, I have more as a low-end RB2 this week. Devontae Adams, I still think he's a high-end wide receiver too, because they're going to be playing from behind. I could see him getting 10-plus targets in this matchup. And if there's any way that you could attack the 49ers defense, it is through the air with wide receivers. So a little bit higher on Devontae Adams, but frankly, I am scared to death to start Josh Jacobs in a championship week this week.
Yeah, you asked in the last game that you said you weren't sure if you were allowed to do a bad matchup. You didn't really have a choice with this one, especially with no Carr. So obviously, I think it's pretty likely that if you're playing in the championship game and you have Adams or Jacobs, you probably don't have a better option than those two. Are you avoiding entirely the rest? Like, are you starting Darren Waller in this one? Are you starting, and even in desperation, any like the wide receiver two guys on this team?
Definitely not with the wide receivers. Darren Waller, I guess there's a chance that you're desperate. I moved him outside of my top 12. Taysom Hill, I would start over him. Cole Kmet, someone we spoke about earlier, I would start over Darren Waller as well. So I would look to get away from both of those guys. Josh Jacobs, we just spoke about a few names. Brian Robinson, I would start over him. I would start Miles Sanders over him. As much as, you know, I don't really like Nick Chubb this week, I would still start him over Josh Jacobs as well.
49ers defense, like the most obvious number one defense special teams for this week, I would think. Let's go to Jets at Seahawks. D-Bro?
Man, the Raiders are such a mess. For this game, we're going to talk. We just talked about the tight end position. I'm going to go with the matchup streamer option here. I want to talk about Tyler Conklin. I think if you're looking at, yes, we're going to want to start Garrett Wilson, and we could sit here and puff praise for Elijah Moore, bring a Bam Knight. But I think we're all hurting for tight ends this week. If you don't have one of the elites at the position, you don't have Travis Kelce and all those types, you're looking for matchup plays this week. And I think Tyler Conklin makes a ton of sense. You're looking at a Seattle pass defense that's given up the third most yak, seventh most missed tackles this season. Conklin ranks 10th in yak amongst tight ends. The Seattle Seahawks cannot stop tight ends. They're 31st in fantasy points per game, 32nd in yards per reception allowed to tight ends. With the God himself, Mike White, throwing the ball, Tyler Conklin has a 14% target share. So if we're going down the rabbit hole for tight end options, I like Tyler Conklin this week.
Frank, what's your key matchup here?
I'm looking at DK Metcalf versus the Jets outside corners. Notice I asked if I could use bad matchups, and all of my afternoon games are just bad matchups so far. So DK Metcalf going up against his Jets secondary. By the way, I'm wearing a Jets shirt. This is a Sauce Gardner shirt. I am a Jets fan, and I've watched their games very intently. I was at Thursday Night Football last week live in like a monsoon, and it was terrible to watch. But they did great against wide receivers, which is what they always do. Second, they've allowed the second fewest fantasy points to wide receivers this season. They are sixth in pass defense DVOA. If you look at PFF coverage grade, Sauce Gardner is first in the NFL. DJ Reed is 11th in the NFL. DK Metcalf exclusively plays on the outside, regardless of where he lines up. Sauce Gardner doesn't move. He doesn't follow. He doesn't shadow. But regardless of where he moves, they have amazing outside corners on both sides of the field. So I am worried about DK Metcalf, a little bit lower on him than I usually am. I think he's a low-end wide receiver too. Tyler Lockett looking like he's trending towards playing this week. I don't think you're in a situation where you have both of them on your team, but just to put this in perspective, I would start Tyler Lockett straight up over DK Metcalf this week because the Jets do struggle in the slot and they do struggle to tight end. So I'm looking to fade DK Metcalf where I can.
I think you covered the receivers pretty well. I want to just ask you, Frank, on Kenneth Walker, you know, just going up against the Jets run defense. He's RB12 right now in ECR. He's only hit that number once since week 9. Do you think that's too aggressive going up against this defense, or is that about right?
I think that's about right because the volume he's getting right now, 28 touches last week, two receptions there, even going up against a tough, again, the Jets have been great against the run as well this year. I think the volume just kind of mitigates that. And if they get in the red zone, you know, maybe it's harder for them to throw the ball to guys like DK Metcalf, and they can lean on Ken Walker and maybe get him in the end zone as well. So I have him exactly at RB12 as well. I think that's perfectly fine for Ken Walker.
Let's go to Vikings at Packers. One of the more interesting games of the day. And Frank, I'll start with you here.
Yeah, it's another bad matchup for me. It's Kirk Cousins going up against this Green Bay pass defense. And for what it's worth, I still have Kirk Cousins ranked as a top 8 quarterback this week. But I'm just saying, be wary, maybe cautious about your expectations with Kirk Cousins in this matchup. Green Bay 8th in pass defense DVOA this year. They are dead last in run defense DVOA. So I think we could see a big game out of Dalvin Cook, a lot of usage out of Dalvin Cook in this one. And Green Bay allows the 11th fewest fantasy points to quarterbacks. They haven't allowed multiple passing touchdowns in a game since week 12. I know this is a matchup podcast, but can we just entertain the narrative street aspect for a second here? Kirk Cousins in a big divisional matchup at 4:25 p.m. Eastern time, not 1 p.m. in Lambeau Field, where it's going to be very cold. It's going to be rocking. I know he's got Justin Jefferson and TJ Hockenson, the way those guys are playing. I don't know that you're necessarily getting away from Kirk Cousins, but it just would not surprise me if he puts up a dud in this spot against the Packers.
Yeah, I think of all the players in the NFL, Kirk Cousins is the one I'm most fine talking a little narrative about because it is just remarkable when he's not playing at 1 p.m. Just a note, obviously not like you need to go into Justin Jefferson. Everybody knows and loves him. But I just want to point out in this matchup back in week one, Kirk Cousins threw for 277 yards. Mm-hmm. 184 of them went to Justin Jefferson. I know the Packers defense looks a little different now than it did at the beginning of the season, but he absolutely torched them back at the beginning of the year. D-Bro, what's your matchup here?
Matchups don't matter for Justin Jefferson. Yeah. They don't. There's not a cornerback on this planet that can guard that man. Even when DJ Reed was out in the streets like, hey, shut you down, Justin Jefferson was chirping back like, you needed a safety over the top and some other people to stop me. Come on, son. If we're looking at this matchup for going against the Vikings here, I think I'm going to go back to Alan Lazard. And it's been rough for Alan Lazard. I cannot contest that. And yes, we're looking at Christian Watson could be out. I know he's day to day. But Alan Lazard is somebody I think could be a strong flex play. And I think you could throw Romeo Doubs into that conversation as well if Watson is out. But Alan Lazard, he's had 11 targets in week 16, week 11. He couldn't even surpass 70 receiving yards with that. And a lot of that has not been on Lazard. You're looking at Aaron Rodgers, looks like he's just reading from a different book than everybody else. Like, wide receivers are breaking off their routes and Rodgers is throwing it deep. It's like, dude, you can shrug your shoulders and make all the goofy faces you want to, and at some point, at the end of the day, it's probably not on your wide receivers. That's on you. So I think as long as they can get somewhat on the same page, Alan Lazard could walk away with a good game because he has had high value usage for days in this offense. This dude is 8th in deep targets and 15th in red zone looks this season, and that's with missing some time. So if we're looking at outside of getting trolled with like a 2-touchdown game for freaking Randall Cobb, if there's another wide receiver that I think could be in for a good bounce back game, it could be Alan Lazard.
We've got 3 games left. Rams at Chargers, last in the late afternoon slate. D-Bro, I'll start with you.
How many times do I have to bring up Cam Akers on the show before people really understand? Like, yes, he got into the box score and he blew up last week. If you've been listening to this show, if you've been reading the primer, you already know that Cam Akers has been running really, really well for multiple weeks. It just has not shown up in the box score. And I think that he is going to build on last week's game. I'm not telling you that he's going to get another 3 touchdowns, but this man has played 72% or more of the snaps in 3 of the last 4 games since week 10. Put some respect on Cam Akers' name. Y'all all wanted to trash on him about his Achilles and coming back and never be the same. Since week 10, he is 22nd in yards after contact per attempt. He is 10th in missed tackles forced. He is tied with Ramondre Stevenson in runs of 10-plus yards. He is also tied with Ramondre Stevenson in PFF's elusive rating, which he happens to be top 10 in that as well. He's 9th. So if you're looking at a guy that you could plug in as an RB2 and could get you RB1 production against a Chargers run defense that since week 11 is 24th in rushing yards per game, Cam Akers is going to get it done this week.
He's RB17 and half PPR in our expert consensus rankings. Is that too low?
I have him around that, and it's not so much that I don't. Well, no, I lie. As I've been kind of manipulating ranks while we've been on the show and just my own things, I have bumped Cam Akers up to RB13.
Definitely aggressive there. Frank, what's your matchup here?
Before I get into it, I will just point out, I also have Cam Akers at RB13. I'm starting him over Nick Chubb, so I'm totally
thank you. That.
Let's do it.
Preach to the people, Frank.
I'm looking at Mike Williams here going up against Jalen Ramsey, and it's been a pedestrian couple of weeks here for Mike Williams. We know that Austin Eckler and Keenan Allen are both rolling right now. Justin Herbert really not playing all that well because, frankly, he's not having big games. He's not throwing a bunch of touchdowns, and as a result, Mike Williams is putting up these pedestrian numbers, just a 16% target share over the past 3 weeks. But if you are going to attack the Rams, I think it's a good idea to do it through the air, where they are 20th in pass defense DVOA. They're allowing the 12th most fantasy points to wide receivers. And we might have this idea of Jalen Ramsey of old just being this shutdown corner. He doesn't shadow anymore. He basically plays one side of the field. And in coverage this season, he has allowed 7 touchdowns, according to PFF. So if there's anything that we could rely on Mike Williams for, they get in the red zone, throw him up a jump ball, whatever it might be. I think he gets in the end zone this week. I think he's back to being, you know, a top 20, top 15 wide receiver. I wouldn't shy away. I know he's been pedestrian, but I do like Mike Williams in this matchup.
Sunday night football, Steelers at Ravens. I don't really know why they chose this game to flex it. I love watching Ravens Steelers on Sunday night football, but I don't think Lamar is going to play, and the Steelers are actively a bad team that I don't enjoy watching. So I don't really know what they were thinking there. Frank, what is the key matchup in this one?
I think it's going to be Najee Harris going up against the Ravens run defense, a run defense that has been fantastic. Fourth in run defense, DVOA, 3.83 yards per carry to running backs this season. That is fifth lowest in the NFL. They have allowed just one rushing touchdown to a running back since week 9. Would you like to guess who it is?
Najee.
It is Najee Harris. That is the only running back that has scored a rushing touchdown since week 9 against this Ravens defense. It's kind of what we were talking about with Ken Walker. It's volume versus a great defense. And Najee Harris has 22 plus touches in back-to-back games. I kind of worry about him here in the spot. Don't really love the Steelers offense. I think he's a low-end RB2. If you got this far with Najee, you're probably starting him, but I am a little bit worried here going up against the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, one thing to keep in mind with the Ravens run defense, obviously they've looked a lot better since trading for Roquan Smith. They also are much, much better against the run with Calais Campbell on the field. He did not practice on Wednesday. I haven't seen what he did the rest of the week just yet, but he is obviously a huge key to that run defense. So if he's out, will be a little bit easier sledding for Najee Harris. Dubro, what's your key matchup?
I think if you're looking at it, and I know we're going back to the tight end position and the options are slim and maybe the wire has been picked over, you don't have any other matchup options. I know I kind of shaded Mark Andrews earlier. You might be forced to start him, and I think that there is a sliver of hope considering that, look, Pittsburgh has been one of the best defenses against the tight end position in multiple seasons. You can count on one hand the defenses that I'm like, I'm not about the tight end position. I will not play tight ends aggressively versus the Saints. The Steelers up until this year were one of those defenses, but since week 11, they're 22nd in catch rate allowed to tight ends. They're 20th in receiving yards per game. So while it's rough, but Mark Andrews is still getting the routes. He's still getting the target share. I still have him as a top 12 tight end, and I know that people are down on him, but considering the options that are out there, I think that he could walk away with this with a good game.
Obviously, he didn't do anything against the Steelers in week 14. He had six targets, two catches, 17 yards. He hasn't caught a touchdown since week 6. His weekly finishes going back in half PPR the last few weeks, 19th, 23rd, 23rd, 11th, 11th. He was 7th back in week 11, but he just hasn't been producing the way that managers have needed him to. I mean, what would your confidence level be, Debro, on starting him, like a scale of 1 to 10?
It depends your options. I mean, right now I've got him as a mid-range tight end one, probably shading him to low range. So
like a 5.5.
I mean, that's the thing, right? You mentioned the options. Like, it's fairly unlikely you have a clearly better tight end option. So you're probably stuck starting him unless you are just feeling particularly bullish on like a Taysom Hill or Cole Kmet, like you mentioned, one of these streamers that you're just sort of taking the swing on. Monday Night Football, a much better primetime game than we have on Sunday. Bills at Bengals, the game of the week. Frank, what's your key matchup?
All right, hear me out. Gabe Davis going up against this Bengals secondary. Okay. Cincinnati defense has mostly been solid all around, but they have shown a few cracks recently, specifically against wide receivers. They've given up 5 touchdowns to the position over the past 2 weeks. Their outside cornerbacks, Cam Taylor-Britt and Eli Apple, both have PFF coverage grades under 60 this season, which ranks outside of the top 75 cornerbacks with at least 100 coverage snaps. So they have struggled in coverage immensely on the outside, and Gabriel Davis exclusively plays on the outside. Huge total in this game. It's a really important game for both sides, the Bills and the Bengals. And in these tighter matchups with big totals back and forth, I think we're going to see Josh Allen throw the ball more than we have seen basically over the past month. And as a result, I think we can get a good game out of Gabe Davis. He's a wide receiver 3. If you're playing showdown, whatever, I think Gabe Davis could be in line for a really big game here against the Bengals.
Obviously, super boom or bust this season. He would win a lot of people over for life if he can boom here in the fantasy championship game. Is this, Frank, just one of those, like, you kind of just start everybody that's even remotely reasonable in the game like this?
I think so. Yeah, I know Stephon Diggs has let us down, but obviously you're starting him in this spot as well. Devin Singletary, I think he's like a high-end flex option. Maybe he's not a must-start. Dawson Knox, we got to check in on the injury there, make sure he's all right, but he's been rolling recently as well. The Bengals side, you know who you're starting there. maybe Tyler Boyd is kind of more so on the fringes, but the running back, the wide receivers, obviously Joe Burrow is balling out right now. Yeah, I think it's just fantasy fireworks. Try and get as many of those in as possible.
And D-Bro, you want to talk about Tyler Boyd?
Yeah, I think that he could be one of the key chess pieces for the Cincinnati Bengals. Their outside corners with Tre'Davious White back have been playing fantastic. And I think if you're looking at how you're going to attack this Buffalo defense overall, I think it's going to be running the ball. I think it's going to be checkdowns to Joe Mixon. And I think it's going to be a lot of Tyler Boyd. Because if you're looking at, okay, we're going to stay away from the outside corners. The one corner that has played terribly all year that you should be picking on in this secondary, and he's been great in years past, he's just having a down season, but Teron Johnson has struggled this year. 72% catch rate, 108 passer rating allowed. I know Boyd has not done anything of note. This dude only has a 13% target share and 17% air yard share on the season. I think that if you're looking at a upside flex option, and I know a lot of people do not view Tyler Boyd in that light, I think Tyler Boyd is a fantastic upside flex option for you this week, considering your matchups. So yes, I love Tyler Boyd.
Let's open up the mailbag here to end the show. It's a good time to remind the listeners, if they want even more access to our analysts, be sure to join us on Discord at fantasypros.com/chat. A premium subscription will get listeners full access to our analysts through AMAs, stages, and more.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Since we are in the fantasy championship and all of the questions we got are just pure start or sit, we're going to go rapid fire on five of these here. Don't need to go into a lot of explanation or details. Just give me your picks here. Let's go with question one. Start two in half PPR, James Cook, Rashad White, or Chuba Hubbard? D-Bro?
Oof. I'm going to go Cook and Rashad White.
Frank?
Yeah, I think I'm leaning that way as well. Like I said earlier, I think Tampa Bay is going to look to try and shut down the run here for the Panthers, and maybe they can pass a little bit more. But I'll go with James Cook in that massive game and Rashad White.
Question number two, start two again, this time in PPR. Christian Watson or Romeo Doubs if Watson is out. Pittman, Amari Cooper, DJ Chark. Again, that's Watson/Dobbs, Pittman, Amari Cooper, DJ Chark. D-Bro?
Chark is definitely in. He's a strong wide receiver three. And then if Watson is out, I'm going to go Dobbs.
Frank?
Yeah, I think that's the way to go as well. I know I spoke up Pittman earlier, but obviously not a great game environment. You don't really want to rely on Nick Foles. DJ Chark literally has the best game environment on the slate. So yeah, I like Chark and the Packers as well.
Travis Etienne or Ramondre Stevenson in PPR? D-Bro?
Good Lord, this is insane. Give me Etienne. I love him this week.
You know, we didn't really actually talk about this that much in the Jaguars section, so I'll ask now, are you at all concerned with the fact that, like, the Jaguars, this game is kind of meaningless to them? We already know, you know, the Titans didn't play Derrick Henry last night. They obviously didn't play a lot of their players last night. So are you worried about that all with the Jaguars as well going into that Week 18 game, Frank?
Look, Travis Etienne, not worried about it here, because even if he plays a half, if he gets 15 touches against this Texans defense, I think he's absolutely going to smash. Based on the question, though, I actually would go with Ramondre. I think it's super close, but like obviously D-Bro talked me into Ramondre Stevenson. Fantastic matchup for pass-catching running back. So it's close, but I would go with Ramondre.
D-Bro, quickly, what do you think on the Jaguars just in general?
I mean, they got to win out to get into the playoffs. I don't think they're going to take their foot off the gas. I mean, to me, and you're talking about a Texans team that's been competitive lately. If they put up a fight, Jaguars are going to have to score points. That means a lot of ETN.
Question number four, Cam Akers or Josh Jacobs? D-Bro?
Oh, golly. Give me Akers. I know that sounds crazy, but the Raiders are just a mess.
It does sound crazy. Do you agree, Frank?
You know where I'm going. I'm going Cam Akers as well. I'm fading Josh Jacobs. I have him down at RB19, which it sounds crazy. He's gotten us to this point, but just with Jarrett Stidham at the quarterback, against the 49ers, yeah, I'd rather go with Akers.
Excuse me, that man is known as Jarrett Studham, okay? Just to put that out there.
Let's wrap it up there, fellas. Thank you both for another awesome episode. Everybody listening, please remember to check out our Christian Watson jersey giveaway and also the Daily Juice podcast as well. Most of all, thank you, the fans, for listening all season long. We will not be here for week 18, so this is our last matchup previews of the season. It's been a joy to host us every week. For Frank and D-Bro and also Erickson, who was on a lot of these episodes early, and Matthew Friedman, I'm Ryan Wormley. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.